This is the live feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenseth with the live feed.
Tonight on the live feed, we have local favorite Charlie Parr. Charlie visits with us about his first guitar, his inspiration for songwriting, and some facts you might not have known about him, such as he holds a philosophy degree. You're listening to the live feed here on KQAL. The wonderful Charlie Parr. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. You have an interesting story about how you got your first guitar, correct?
Well, yeah. I don't know how interesting it is. It's I was a kid, a young kid, and my father traded a boat motor for my first guitar. It's and the website it listed as me having done it, but you know that's a stretching of the truth.
You're self-taught then?
I'm self-taught. Yeah, I think I might have taken one lesson. I don't remember too much, but yeah, all the stuff that I wanted to play, all the records that I listened to, you know, seemed to be the stuff that a lot of other people in Austin listened to and knew how to play. So I just tried everything until I could figure out, you know, how to kind of play it. And I'm still trying, you know, I'm still learning.
They said that you practice like 4 hours a day, or would you say that you play 4 hours a day?
Well, I used to, before I got married, I practiced for, you know, closer to 6 or 7 hours a day. Because I just didn't do anything else. You know, I'm not real employable. And so I'd sit around and play guitar all the time. And then, you know, of course, that diminishes. You have start having a family, and then with the children and all, you know, my practice time now is kind of been cut down into the two-some, three-hour range. And then, of course, shows, which aren't practice at all. But this summer, I took even a little more break because I had an injury to my arm, some nerve damage, and so I had to get that straightened out and couldn't practice a whole lot. So I'm coming back from that really well, but I can feel that I didn't practice a lot, you know.
We know that feeling. It's like being on a long vacation and then trying to get back to work. Now you play resonator, 12 string and banjo.
Yeah.
Which one do you identify with the most, do you think?
I'm on kind of a banjo break because of the arm thing. And I love playing the banjo, but I really don't. I'm not a very confident banjo player. The sounds that I get out of the banjo aren't the sounds that I want to hear. So I've got a lot of work to do on the banjo. I love playing it. You know, it's like chess. I love playing it. I get my butt kicked all the time. But my 12 string is actually also a resonator guitar. It's a resonator 12 string that National built for me. And then this guitar is a regular steel bodied. Resonator that I've added a seventh string to, but and then this is kind of the one that I feel, you know, the sound of these guitars are the ones that I feel closest to.
And that affects your storytelling then too?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
I've got, you know, I do have a wooden guitar at home, and sometimes I even write on it because I don't really take it anywhere because it doesn't have a pickup in it and it's very quiet and but you know, I can kind of write on any, I've written a lot of songs on the banjo that I just then readjust for the guitar. It really, you know, the instrument itself doesn't have as much to do with the songwriting, I don't think. But the sound of it in a performance situation is definitely something I feel like I would miss a lot if I didn't have, you know.
Now, it says that you do Piedmont-style blues, and am I pronouncing that correctly?
Piedmont, yeah. Piedmont refers to a region of the United States. It's all around the North Carolina area, you know, Chapel Hill and Raleigh, the Southern Appalachian, all the way down into Northern Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, Athens, Georgia, in that area. It's kind of misleading. It's that region. That's what that region's called. That style of playing, a lot of the guitarists have played that style, which is, you know, this kind of, you know, thumb. Playing the bass and the fingers picking out the melody, you know. that's kind of a Piedmont style. That's one example of it, but it varies a lot from guys like Blind Boy Fuller, who played more like ragtime stuff, to guys like Mississippi John Hurt, who wasn't from the Piedmont. He was from North Mississippi. So it really just refers to that picking style.
And what draws you to that?
I listened to that music when I was young. Dad had a lot of the records that had that kind of playing on it, and I don't know what it was that it gets me at a real kind of gut level, and I couldn't get enough of it. I want to learn how to play like that so bad, and like I said, I'm still kind of working on it, but I'm not really sure what it was about it that sucked me in. I never get tired of it. I never get tired of listening to those guitarists.
That's what keeps you going then, mm-hmm. too.
Oh, sure.
When you write, what inspires you? Is it life experiences or is it fiction?
Everything. Everything. The landscape around, you know, around Minnesota is always something that lately I've been working on some songs kind of, about, you know, that kind of weird prairie to lake region landscape, and that's really always been a real inspiration to me. Other musicians, we've got a really, really deep-rooted musical thing going on in Minnesota, especially lately with the folk music. Mm-hmm. That's really been inspiring to me. I mean, just everything. Yeah, reading is an inspiration to me. I particularly authors like Raymond Carver, you know, who managed to really kind of nail down just kind of what life is like, you know. That stuff does. I mean, I'm not a kind of a media person very much. I don't enjoy the TV, or I can't sit through a whole movie now. I just get too restless and I lose interest and want to go practice a guitar or take a walk. But, you know, I suppose if I did, I'd be inspired by that too. But, you know, I think I'm kind of a sponge in a lot of ways. I just, it all comes in, gets, you know, messed around and comes out again.
You did the whole Prairie Home Companion experience,
yeah,
right?
I did.
How did that come about? What was that like
well,
for you?
It was wonderful. They were coming to Duluth, and they chose a couple of Duluth artists to feature, and I was lucky enough to be one of them. And it was a blast. I went down to the deck early and sat around drinking coffee, and you know, knew a lot of the crew because they were all from Duluth, and all the people that work on that show and the performers are just the kindest folks. They treated me like a member of the family, and it was just wonderful. It was really, really fun. I enjoyed it.
Who do you admire in the music world? Like, who do you listen to currently? Like, what's on your playlist, so to speak, and major influences? We touched a little bit on that, but
there are a lot, and I guess you could divide it in a couple of categories. I listen to a lot of older music from the mid to late 20s and early 30s, like Charlie Patton and Blind Lemon Jefferson and Booker White, Blind Willie Johnson, and some of those guys, and then the next category, I guess, includes more contemporary guys like, Robert Pete Williams, who was mostly recorded in the 60s in Mississippi, Fred McDowell, Dave Van Ronk, Spider John Kerner, who I've been lucky enough to play shows with in the cities, Dave Ray. Also, guys who are younger like Jack Rose, who unfortunately passed away last year, but he was, I was very much influenced by, you know, Jack's playing and the way he put songs together. Other guitarists like, you know, Glenn Jones and, you know, all the great songwriters that are in the region, Greg Brown, and guitar players like Bo Ramsey and Joe Price. I got to do a show just this weekend with Joe, and he sounds better than ever. You know, it's always an inspiration to see Joe play. You know, I think the guy is just a king. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm really lucky, you know. I'm just kind of surrounded by people that I really admire. And a lot of them are people that I know, Lonesome Dan Case and Dave Simonette from Travel by Turtles is a musician that I think is just, you know, one of those guys that I really just admire the way he does his work. So I'm pretty lucky. I mean, the list is really far too long to name everybody, I think.
You have a philosophy degree, actually.
Yeah, I got it. I don't have it on me, but I have one.
Where did you get that at?
You send away for it. It's a cereal box top.
No.
Just check this philosophy box, and then they give you one of those.
Well, has that changed the way you write anyway, do you think? Or how has that influenced you?
It's changed a lot of stuff about me. I dropped out of high school when I was in the first day of 10th grade. I dropped out of high school. And it was just silly. You know, I'd listened to my dad or my uncles or anybody, I'd have had more sense. But I didn't, and I dropped out of high school and just did everything but do what I was supposed to. I played the guitar, I worked in odd jobs and bummed around the country and lived in my car and got put in jail and just a bunch of stupid stuff, you know. By the time I was 19 or maybe just turning 20, you know, my father came and he had sold my car to bail me out of jail and said, you got to do something, you know. And the judge made me go to the meetings for alcoholics, and which, you know, I didn't really take. But and then I started going to school, and the thing that I gravitated towards was philosophy. I mean, I read a lot. I always read a lot, even when I was a kid. The sad part about it was, since I didn't go to high school and I went to liberal arts, you know, degree, I still can't do math. You know, I can add and subtract and stuff like that, but by the time ninth grade came around, I wasn't paying any attention to anything. And so I loved studying philosophy. I was definitely not, grade A philosophy material, but, you know, I still enjoy it. I still love reading a lot of that stuff. And nowadays I kind of gravitate more towards reading the biographies of philosophers, you know, but... It's something that's always fascinated me. I think it's changed me in the way that I think I have a little more of a systematic way of thinking about things than I would have had if I hadn't had that experience. Because, you know, I don't know that my life would have changed much if I didn't go and, you know, get my equivalency thing and go to college.
Cool. In New York, when I was riding the subway, they always have these philosophy works classes, like, advertised everywhere all over the place.
That's weird.
It's like, it'll change the way you think about business. It'll change the way you think about it.
I think it does, though. I mean, it provides you with a foundation that, you know, that normally we don't have access to. You know, you just have things like floating around. And I think, you know, I think philosophy, when at its best, you know, can give you a, you know, somewhere to stand. And
core
it's worse to turn you into a maniac, but you know, who knows?
You have 8 different albums out. Roustabout is the most recent. Mm-hmm. Which one is your favorite and why? Or where did you have turning points at each different album?
Oh, well, yes and no. I mean, the newest one actually just came out. It's called When the Devil Goes Blind.
Okay.
And it's definitely the one I'm the most happy with. It's actually just a completely solo record. I didn't have anybody play on it with me at all, and I really was happy with that. In a lot of ways, these records all kind of sound just like one another, because it's just what I do. You know, the way I play isn't going to change much. I'm not going to suddenly make a rock and roll record or do anything, you know, monumentally different than I have ever done. It just write new songs and try to get better at guitar playing. The newest one, I feel like I'm most proud of as far as the songs and how I have managed to play. And the sound quality is quite a bit higher than the last one, too. I recorded this one in a studio, and I haven't done that before. It's always been, you know, garages and basements and, you know, the space next door to Ed's, you know.
Gotcha.
So.
And how is that recording process for you? Do you really enjoy it, or no, not as much as?
I don't enjoy it very much. It's intimidating. It's hard to relax. The way I present songs the best is in front of an audience, when I can tell how the flow should go. And when you're in this kind of space where, you know, it's not home in your kitchen, because home in my kitchen I can stop and start and go get a cup of coffee, but this is, you know, kind of this weird marriage between performance and something else, you know. So it is kind of intimidating. I'm getting a little more comfortable at it as I go along, but it's not a strength of mine, for sure. You know, I have a tendency, I start feeling guilty about, well, there's resources being wasted by my sitting in this room. the more I sit here being, you know, anxious about this, the more I'm wasting someone's time or some tape or something's being wasted by this. And that's, of course, you know, partially nerves and partially self-esteem, you know. Mm-hmm. So
you've performed with other groups and individuals. We already talked about that. But which experience do you think that you've had performance-wise that has stuck with you, that you have the greatest memory of? Or,
well, I've been lucky to get to play with a lot of different people, and I still try to. I mean, a couple of different guys that I play harmonica with, and a couple of different guys I play washboard with now and again, and the Black Twig Pickers from Virginia, I go down there twice a year or so, or three times a year, and we get together and play all sorts of songs together, and it's wonderful. It's just amazing to be part of that. But, you know, at the end of the day, kind of my favorite times are when I get to just play by myself and I can do whatever I want, you know, and just feel the reason that I started playing the guitar in the first place is that kind of real, you know, visceral kind of fingers touching the strings thing.
What do you hope that somebody takes away from a performance of yours? Like, for example, tonight you're at Ed's. What do you want the audience to remember from coming to hear you play?
I don't know. I mean, it's not to sound selfish about it. I really like performing, and a lot of the times when you're in that situation, it doesn't really occur to you that anybody else is going to take anything away from it at all. You just, hopefully people are having a nice time and won't get in a fight or, you know, get hurt or anything. And, you know, hopefully they enjoy the music, or that they can hear the music and that it's not bad or out of tune, which it probably will be both of those or something like that. But that's a tough one, because you're supposed to be like an entertainer, you know, performing, but, you know, I'm not much of an entertainer. I'm just playing some songs.
You're definitely a local favorite, though. Everybody comes out whenever you're here. So.
Yeah, they're nice folks. It's always nice to, it's, you know, I just, like I said, I've been really, really lucky, and I love being able to do this, and I hope that, you know, it goes on and on and on. I'm, you know, not taking anything for granted, though. Every minute that I get to go somewhere where people are, you know, friendly and happy, and I get to play a little guitar, and it's another great day.
So for you, it's more about the process than it is the product as an artist.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Of course, that's, you know, my dad and my mom too, you know, that's kind of what their lives were about too. You know, the act of living is a reward in itself. You know, every little thing is kind of a gift of itself, you know. That big prize at the end is usually not either there or a big prize, you know. If you do get it, if you, you know, love everything that you've got around you right now, you probably won.
Well, we can go ahead and perform. Do you want to talk about the different songs that you're going to play?
I don't know. I was going to play some stuff off the new record. Well, this is called Mastodon. I don't know what to say about any of this stuff. This is the only song that I've ever written that's about me. Usually I write about other people. So that's the only defining feature of this one.
Well, my dad left home at 14 years, gone to find his way. He left again when I was 25. This time I'm gonna stay. I don't feel welcome around here. I don't feel at home. This old world has brought me low, made me live all alone. Miles and years till I was lost and alone, like a mastodon buried in the snow, never found his way home. I don't feel welcome around here, and I don't feel at home. This old world has brought me low, made me live all alone. Like all the rest, easy to be ignored. I wander free on the side of the fence, separate the rich and poor. I don't feel welcome around here, I don't feel at home. This old world has brought me low, made me live all alone. Coffin and no stone. May leave me like a mastodon buried in the snow. Someday I'll be found. I don't feel welcome around here. I don't feel at home. This old world has brought me low, made me live all alone.
Thing for being able to keep it in tune. I'll play another new one. This is called "I Dreamed I Saw Jesse James Last Night." The good Jesse James.
Oh, okay.
Not that new one.
Oh, the new one that cheated on Sandra Bullock. Right. Yeah. Right.
The
good.
The Robin murdering one, not the adulterous one. Jesse James. Sleep at night, I'm dreaming about Jesse James. We'd rob that train, brother, and ride away. Mm-hmm.
When I lay awake, staring at Ned Kelly's on my mind. When I lay awake, Ned Kelly's on my mind. Pull up them tracks, let them rich folks ride. I put on my boots and got my hat and whispered my wife's name. I put on my boots and I whispered my wife's name. I got my 410, I went to meet the train. I'm on the track, my rifle's cocked, she ain't slowing down. I'm on the track, she ain't slowing down. She ain't gonna stop, over 7 bound.
I was just a geeky, kind of uncomfortable individual to be around, you know, sit in the basement, listen to these records, you know, stole my dad's record collection, moved it to the basement, you know, where I could listen to it in peace and try to figure out what they were doing. And my friend come over and he said, you know, let's go out and, you know, do something, you know, whatever it was. And I don't want to do anything. I want to sit in the basement and get translucent skin, you know. I got obsessed. I didn't play anything else. When I started trying to learn how to play banjo, it was the first time I tried to play anything else. Have you heard Joe Price's new record yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's good. It's really good. No. Fantastic. I've been playing in the car ever since he gave me one.
It's kind of funny how that always works, you know, when you find something that you really dig and you really like, you'll play that till you can't stand it anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And you leave it alone for a month and you go back to it again.
Yeah, I'll be pretty surprised if that happens with this record.
I get pretty obsessive compulsive about certain music and listening to it.
I do too. I get completely stuck sometimes. I was traveling with Joe Tatey from town here out west. I got a Megaphone record. And there's a song in there that I just completely cannot stop listening to. And haven't gotten sick of it yet. This is the one that gives you the trouble. Okay. This is called Last Day.
We wanna take him home. Home is where he needs to be. And that's what we told the doctor. And then he set him free. Smiles were full of fear of what must always come, but we took the time as it was, and there was nothing left to be done. Out the clock the best we could, till the time came for leaving, and our wishing did no good.
A big thanks to Charlie Parr for taking the time out before his performance at Ed's to visit with us and perform. You've been listening to The Live Feed on KQAL. Tune in every Wednesday and Friday evening at 6:30 for more of The Live Feed.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.